VentureCast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I've got one that I actually use all the time. I mention it with like alarming regularity.
Okay.
So it's a Suzy one.
Yeah, this is my favorite too. Ben speaks for me.
So it follows after Calvin and Hobbs have been really mean to Suzy, and it's just her, just by herself, addressing the camera, talking to you, and she's like, "That Calvin's so mean to me. I don't know why he's so mean to me." She's like, "I'm gonna have a party. I wish I could have a party, and I'll invite all my friends, and I won't invite him, and he'll be really sad." And then there's like a little blank panel where she's looking at herself, and then she says, "As long as I'm wishing, I wish I had a pony." And I just say that to myself all the time. I'm like, as long as I'm wishing, I wish I had a pony.
Yep.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Yeah, do you have permissions? Am I all good?
Fellas, we are all good. We've got the right permissions in place. We are now recording on 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys. Jeff Simons, how are you in Berkeley tonight?
I'm so good, and I'm so glad to see you guys. I am really looking forward to this one. I was a little bit off. If I could be a little self-reflective, felt like I was a little off my game in the Toronto episode. I came in
really
exhausted, came in a little like I brought work home with me. I am all about the joy tonight. This is going to be a good one.
Ben and I talked a little bit about that afterwards. We were a little
Fair enough.
But Jeff, do you see how management divides us?
It's true. That's how they do it, right? It's how they keep the costs down.
Ben Barton, how are you in Knoxville tonight?
Bumping along for sure. Went to the Tennessee basketball opener this evening with the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. So very pleased.
Excellent.
And this fine young man celebrated a birthday since the last episode.
My birthday was this Saturday, and we traveled down to Georgia to watch Tennessee just get their asses handed to them by the Georgia Bulldogs.
That was unfortunate.
So the good news was it's a four-hour drive down and a four-hour drive back.
Okay.
And it took us 45 minutes to get out of the stadium and then another 45 minutes to get out of Athens, Georgia. But at least there was a hard driving rain in the second half.
Dude, you guys got dunked on. That rain was so rough.
The weather report was like spritzing, and India was like, "Do you want to bring a raincoat?" And I was like, "Whoa, why bother?" So India had a raincoat, and I was just completely drenched.
Oh, that's rough. Hey, did you take? Did you go 40?
Yeah, we went over to Asheville, and then cut down from there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there. I'm right. You can see.
You know what we could
have
used, Timmy, is a four-hour drive there and a four-hour drive back and an hour and a half getting out of Athens and then hanging out with you. That would have been amazing.
Right?
We had a lot of time to do that.
I could have like made you a sandwich.
Next time, Timmy, next time you'll be first on our list.
All right.
We're into territory of 50-year-old men describing the routes that they took from point A to point B.
I want to put
the kibosh on that pretty quickly.
Fellas, we are in Cleveland tonight. I think we advertised that we would be in London. But
you know what? London's not nice this time of year. Cleveland is
not
nice
much.
This time
not
of
much
year.
Of a music town either. London.
Not much
of really scraping.
Cleveland actually has the second largest theater district east of the Mississippi. So that's where we're headed.
I'm sure that's a lie. There's a 0% chance that's true.
Second largest theater district.
Don't read the Cleveland propaganda. That's definitely not true. That's just utterly false. There's no way that's true.
All right, what about this? The city's motto is progress and prosperity.
Well,
that may be true.
I like
they got neither of those right. This poor city.
Jeepers. Oh, my God.
First of all, they're making some progress. Cleveland's making some progress.
Yeah, you know, there's a really amazing independent school in Cleveland that I'll shout out called the Hawkins School that's doing some phenomenally cool progressive education.
That's where my good friend Trey Wilson was working.
And well, there you go.
My wife Sarah Wilson, yeah.
So that's progress. But the prosperity, I've been to Cleveland a bunch of times in the last 10 years, and they're still working on the prosperity.
As a matter of fact, it was Trey Wilson who texted me when I asked for Cleveland tidbits. That Cleveland has the second largest theater district.
That's the kind of thing you say when you're stuck in Cleveland and you are grasping at straws.
I was hoping you would have the...
By the way, my favorite thing about that is that like, there's no actual definition of theater and the word district afterwards. So they could definitely be like, ours is second largest. It is. It is. Like...
No, it's
I presumably the Broadway theater districts would be number one.
Yeah.
They're claiming that there's a larger concentration of theaters in Cleveland than there are in Boston, Philadelphia.
Bigger than Boston,
Baltimore,
bigger than Atlanta.
DC.
Los Angeles?
No, it's east of the Mississippi.
Oh, geography whiz. Come on now.
Already fucking up in the next episode. I'm so embarrassed. Simons.
Well, we're going to. So I was hoping that you would have that Tina Fey 30 Rock clip ready to go, where she goes to Cleveland. And
I love that whole episode with Floyd.
Like, are you a model?
Yeah, we're moving here. I love that episode. It's great.
All right. Well, let's arrive in Cleveland with the arrival song, and I think I've got a strong choice this time.
Here we go. Oh, you want to say more about your strong choice?
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry. I thought you were.
No, it's good. It's good.
See, strike two. I'm just going to mute my microphone from here on out. Here we go.
Oh, Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
Cleveland.
Oh. Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
I wanted this one for the quiz, Timmy. You couldn't help us? Bone Thugs and Harmony. I actually knew this one.
I don't know how to tell you guys about the compilation's going to be rough tonight. Because the favorite son, you probably would have gotten the favorite son song too, but he's the favorite son, so I got to take that. And then it's just a bizarre mash of people who've mentioned Cleveland in their songs over the years. It's bizarre.
I'm feeling even more confident than I usually am.
Okay, well, great. I hope so.
I know I could name like 7 or 8 songs I love that name check Cleveland, so I'm kind of hopeful that
we
might be all right.
Well, first of all, who's been to Cleveland out of the three of us?
I've been a bunch of times.
Everybody, yeah, totally.
Oh, wow. Okay. I visited Trey Wilson at the Hawkins School. Had a lovely visit up there in Cleveland. Jeff, did you play there?
I was there this summer with Will. Oh, we went to Denison, and we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Mike. I've been twice in the last year.
Awesome. What about you, Ben?
So I've gone twice to visit India's family. Her, 18th cousin Betty Barish lives there, and she gave us the full tour of downtown and was a super proud Clevelandian. And then I've had the super humorous, and members of higher ed will know this, I've been had the very humorous experience of going to Cleveland for a conference.
Okay.
And one thing that professors love to do is go to fancy hotels in crappy towns. So I stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in Cleveland, and that was where this academic conference that I went to was. And everyone was like, damn, are you seeing that we're in the Ritz? I was like, did you notice that we're in Cleveland?
Oh, my gosh. Anyone know the population of Cleveland?
Yeah, I actually was prepared for this. I was really interested. So which of these cities has the biggest city population, Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Columbus?
Oh, Columbus by a mile.
Columbus.
By a mile. In fact, the populations of Cleveland and Cincinnati combined is only 2/3 of the population of Columbus. But the metropolitan areas are all almost exactly 2 million. How about that?
That is really interesting.
Huh. I thought it was really weird that you got 3 major metropolitan areas and they're all 2 to 2.2 million people. Like, that's kind of funny.
We need someone from Ohio to speak to this.
Basically, Columbus is the only city in Ohio that's growing. And it's a boom town. Like, if you've been to Columbus, it's really, really, really taking off. Lots of new construction. It's like, you know, the cranes are in the air and everything. And Cleveland and Cincinnati are just in a holding pattern for sure. I mean, I would be super curious to know the population of the city. I think the city's like just had a brutal bleed collapse.
Right.
It is under 400,000 people.
372. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
that blew my mind. I was like, oh, yeah. That's
well, these are historically really big towns, but they just are not big towns anymore.
Right.
They've just been hollowed out.
Well, we do actually have someone from Cleveland to inform us of some things. Unfortunately, Jeff, we didn't ask him about this, but Jeff, tell us who the artist in residence is going to be.
So coming up at the end of this ridiculousness is my dear friend, Jerry Becker, who's the music director in Train. And a musical compatriot of mine for 18 years. He's a 50-year-old white guy and cool as hell. And we're going to have a terrific conversation with him about all things Cleveland and knowing Jerry, a bunch of tangential, hilarious things as well. So,
indeed. All right. So do either of you know how the Cleveland Indians, since renamed the Cleveland Guardians, how they got their name, Cleveland Indians?
Is it after the Cuyahoga tribe? I have no idea.
No, that's what I would have assumed as well. They started as the Cleveland Lakeshores. Then they became the Cleveland Bluebirds when they joined the American League, known as the Cleveland Bronchos in 1902. And then in 1903, they called themselves the Cleveland Napoleons after team captain Nap LaGioia.
But I remember that name.
When LaGioia leaves in 1914, club owner Charles Summers requests that baseball writers choose a new name, and they chose the name the Cleveland Indians, a revival of the nickname that fans gave to the Cleveland Spiders while Louis Sockalexis, a Native American, played for them. So the Spiders were called the Indians because they had this one, the very first Native American baseball player, and that's how the Cleveland Indians got their name.
Had no idea. I like that. Also, I think the Guardians, I mean, bless their hearts for changing their name. That's fine. Guardians is not a good name. I don't know why they didn't go with Bronchos. That would have been amazing.
Right.
Or Napoleons.
Napoleons? Lakeshores? Yeah.
Lakeshore is not good. I'm no. Anti, like, actually just describing geography.
What about, yeah, they could have come up with, I like Napoleons. That sounds good.
What is a broncho? That would be amazing.
How did the Cleveland Browns get their name?
Oh, that's great. I assume it's
Paul Brown, the owner?
Floating in the toilet bowl.
Paul Brown, the legendary coach. No, Ted Barton. And we will not repeat that. Paul Brown.
I love how offended Tim is after 3 years of this. It's like, when are you guys going to grow up and act accordingly?
They started in 1944. Still the Cleveland Browns. Although what happened a few years ago? They moved to Baltimore. Is that what happened? I think I blocked it all out.
No, I don't think so. They've always been the Cleveland Browns. No, they were. They became the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah,
and then they became a new franchise. Cleveland Browns.
The franchise became the Ravens.
That's right. That's right. And then they stripped the franchise of all their history and gave them back the Cleveland Browns because the Colts moved to Indianapolis. That's right. God, what a bunch of that was all very that was for all
the NFL pulled a little fast one on us, like a little shell game.
Yeah,
first of all, Tim, with the NFL, let's just wander under the bridge. You know, our corporate masters are looking out for us. We don't need to remember these things, they've asked you to forget. Just move on.
You still have the same jersey, just get it out of the closet.
Totally. No, it's also it's like the concussion things. Some people get injured, you know, we just move on from that. We don't worry about that.
They weren't going to be scientists or anything like that.
All right. And finally, sports fans, how did the Cleveland Cavaliers get their name? Not an interesting story. They started in 1970. And they just chose
the name. Were the Cavs.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Such a bad name.
Hey, I've got a Cleveland Cavaliers question for you.
Oh, hook me.
Non-LeBron James, who's your all-time favorite Cleveland Cav?
Craig Elo.
That's a terrible selection.
Craig Elo going down underneath Jordan when he's pumping his fist after burying that game five jumper.
I have an actual selection, Joe.
I have an actual selection as well.
Actually, mine is Mark Price. He's my favorite.
What's
Mark
yours?
Price is my favorite Cavalier.
No, I want to hear yours first, Timmy.
I have Mark Price as well.
Oh, listen, you're just choosing the white Cavs? Mine is World Be Free.
No, but he's a warrior in my opinion.
No, he is not a warrior. He is a Cav for sure. And here's how I know. I might have told the story already, but he's like fifth grade to seventh grade, I got really into Stratomatic basketball.
Oh, I remember that.
And so you had these cards for the basketball players. And so I have like, I memorized everybody in the NBA for those 2 years. And World Be Free was amazing in Stratomatic basketball. It was just like, oh, it just hit everything as you turn the card over. So good.
All right. I gotta Google Stratomatic basketball because I did not have that as a child. So it was a card game.
Oh, yeah. It was how to take basketball and turn it into Dungeons and Dragons, basically.
Totally.
It was really fun.
I assume, like, you had friends and you probably left your room. This is why you weren't doing that.
All right. Well,
and was out in the street, like, you just play stickball.
And before we get to the compilation contest, do either of you know the original spelling of Cleveland?
We could do better than that.
There is an extra letter. I find this fascinating. What extra letter was in Cleveland?
Hopefully Z.
I'm going to say A. It was spelled Cleveland like a
Cleveland. Indeed, Jeff Simons. It was spelled Cleveland. Do you know why it changed?
Because then somebody put a cleaver in somebody's head and they were like, we need to.
No. Brevity. Brevity. The good people of Cleveland are like, we could do without that A. And that's what they do.
It was, a newspaper began in the 1800s, and they didn't have enough room on their masthead for Cleveland with an A.
You are absolutely got to be kidding me.
So that they dropped the A, and the city eventually adopted the newspaper's shortened name, Cleveland.
Speaking of writing in Cleveland, who's your favorite Cleveland author, Tim? He's your boy! Charles Chestnut is from Cleveland.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Groveland is just Cleveland. And it's like one of the great African-American writers of the turn of the 20th century writing about racial politics in the prominent city of Cleveland.
It was the big endpoint on the Underground Railroad. But
that's right.
Was Chestnut from Cleveland?
It's where the brown paper bag private club idea was born. Yeah. You had to be lighter skinned than a brown paper bag to get into certain clubs in the African American community.
I always associate him with Wilmington.
Well, that's because he wrote that book about the riot. Yeah. But no, he's from Cleveland. Charles Chestnut, readers, read an unknown and just brilliant writer, The Conjure Woman or The Wife of His Youth and other stories. He's the best.
The Mayor of Tradition.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say Charles Schultz.
No, he's from Petaluma. He's a local boy to me.
All right.
By the way, I was going to choose World Be Free for that category also.
All right. Are we ready for the compilation contest?
Timmy. And by the way, I just want to complain already about the Bone Thugs and Harmony takeaway. Just thieving that from it.
Jeff Simons. Nina reached out to us. She thinks we need some music either going into this. Oh, well, actually, she thinks we need a better name than the compilation contest.
Yeah, that's a terrible name.
I don't disagree with her. And then she wants a little music riff, like going in and out of ads. Can you put a little guitar thing for us together?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the guess that number.
Not right now. I mean, in the future.
How about that? I thought that was pretty good.
All right. Well, so for all our listeners out there, I've been calling this like the Cleveland compilation or whatever. If you could think of a better name, the boys in marketing have been laid off once Elon Musk took over corporate management here. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd also love some new ratings, some new reviews. This is season 3. How do you think it's going? What do you think of the selection of certain cities like Australia?
How bad was Jeff's Toronto performance?
These are the things you could go on podcast reviews and let us know. But for now, I guess we will call it the compilation contest.
How many songs this week, Timmy?
You guys need to number your papers 1 through 15.
Oh, my God. How many do we have to get right to be winners?
I'm going to give you 10. I'm not going to go to 11. Just 10.
Okay. All right. You ready, buddy? All right. Here we go.
There's no surf in Cleveland, USA.
Got it. Got it.
Cleveland, city of light,
city of magic. Boy, Cap Cleveland. Good one.
Say what's up to all the players out there in New Orleans, Texas, Atlanta.
What's up, Fiend,
Chicago?
What's up, Nashville,
fool? Cleveland. No,
yeah. Ooh. That's awful.
That's it.
Moving to the Cleveland Beat'em.
All the prettiest girls all live in Cleveland.
Including some terms with the kids when they left fully loaded for Cleveland.
And left is living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold.
Woo! All right.
We're going to win.
Oh, man. I am so
had a good first pass
with you guys. Do you want to try it right now?
No. Let's do it again. Ben, who was that who sang The Prettiest Girls Live in Cleveland, two from the end? Oh, it's such a familiar voice to me. I can't place it, though. All right. One more time.
All right. Hit it. All right. Well, let's knock out some ones that we are definitely sure of first. Let's go. Ben, give me one that you know.
Well, number 2 is Huey Lewis.
Yeah. Jeff, give me one you definitely know.
Number 4 is Randy Newman.
See, that was one I thought I could sneak by you, but no. Ben,
that one's about the Burning River, right?
Yeah, it's Burn On, yeah.
Cuyahoga. All right, Ben, another one you know.
Number 8 is Townsend.
Yep.
Yes, Pete Townsend.
PDT. Number 9 is The Band, Look Out Cleveland.
Excellent. Ben?
Number 14 is, unfortunately, I'm pretty sure Gordon Lightfoot.
You are right about that. Number 15 is Townes Van Zandt.
Excellent. Ben, back to you.
All right, so there's two different versions of Cleveland Rocks. There's the Ian Hunter one, and then there's the President of the United States of America.
It's the original, I think.
But that was the original, right?
Yeah, that's Ian Hunter,
very well.
You could have given us both, by the way, but I understand that you didn't want to give us both, but you could have given us both.
Okay.
Number 12 is The Pretenders, Precious.
Great.
Oh, nice.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Number 1
six,
is The Beach Boys, isn't it?
Oh, I was going to guess that one.
Oh, sorry.
So we have 8. Number 1 is not The Beach Boys.
What is it, Ben?
I had The Beach Boys.
Oh, who is it?
It is the Euclid Beach Band.
Well, then you're just a jerk. That just sounded like The Beach Boys. Any help with the two rap songs, Ben? Number 5, number 10?
My guess for both is Kid Cudi. There's a Kid Cudi song that's about Cleveland. If it's not that, then Tim's got a problem. Because there's a Kid Cudi song that's about Cleveland. And he's chosen not to give us.
Kid Cudi is our favorite son. He is the top earner. Top grossing artist from Cleveland. So he's coming up in a bit. There's no Kid Cudi here. Are we stuck at 8?
Yeah, we might be. Is number 6 a really crappy Modern Prince song, or is it somebody else?
It is not. Any guesses for number 6, Ben?
I guess it's a blank there.
It is Boys to Men.
I was familiar, but I couldn't nail it. And then who's the horrible power ballad, new metal crap.
I had Blink 182 for that.
Are you talking about number 11?
Yeah.
Mrs. Cleveland?
Is it Limp Bizkit?
It is Scott Weiland from his solo album.
Yeah, that's and then the one that's driving me absolutely crazy is
well, let's do that.
Prettiest
last.
Girls Live in Cleveland song at 13. That guy's voice is just.
Let's do that last. What's number 10?
That's a rap. It's not Kid Cudi, and you're a bad person.
I said
person.
The Fugees.
It's Stop Hating by Master P.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The New Orleans was the clue there.
I actually think you should get number 7.
Oh yeah, that's the like the weird like you should kind of power poppy thing.
Pink Wine Sparkles in the Glass. It was the Guess Who.
Yes, I probably should have gotten that.
Disagree. And
then you should get number 5.
Just help us out, Tim. It's not Kid Cudi.
It's Girl Talk.
Oh, but it's Girl Talk sampling someone else. That's a very difficult
thing. Well, he's got three samples going at the same time. So, yeah, that was your clue. It's called a song called Cleveland Shake by Girl Talk. And finally, number 13.
Give me a hint.
I think a band you introduced me to. I'm like 75% sure you introduced me to them back in the late 90s. Maybe it was early 2000s.
And that... place the voice.
It is
no hint. You're just gonna tell me
Stephen Kellogg and the Sixers.
Oh my god, it's Stephen Kellogg. I'm so embarrassed. Stephen, I'm so sorry. I toured with that guy for 6 months. I heard him play that song 100 times. That is so embarrassing. Good god,
that is
sorry,
so fun.
Stephen.
Well, go ahead and give us a guitar riff as we go to our first ad.
It's time for our first ad.
Excellent. And we are back. All right. We got to get into the favorite son or daughter song. I could not believe this is Cleveland's biggest artist. I don't know him. Kid Cudi. And I've never heard of his most popular song on Spotify, but I know he's got a song that has Cleveland in the title. So let's go with that one, Jeff Simons. Cleveland is the reason.
Look at me, Lee. Come look at me, Lee. I'm a star. These people love me, man. These people love me. McFly. I come from Cleveland. Y'all can really hear it now. Hit them like comic books. Kaboom. Pow, pow. Into a girl's mind. Spit fine. No wine dine. I keep 2 phone sidekick for bad times. And a topic you question is why I'm so chill. Girls don't understand. He ain't even made a meal. And say I'm complex just like the magazine. I want my closet complex like the magazine. I get in their head.
Hey, Jeff, give us 10 seconds of Make or Say by Kid Cudi.
Coming up.
I make a say.
Oh, 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 oh.
When I
poker face, poker
face. I make a say.
Oh, 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 oh.
What up?
Poker face.
Me first. She wanna have whatever she like.
That's a banger.
Well, I like that one a lot better. That was
much improved.
Give me the lowdown on Kid Cudi.
So that one's got Kanye West. If we hung around long enough, we'd hear Kanye's voice, and then we might get canceled again. He's a rapper, singer. He was a Kanye disciple. They worked together on a lot of stuff. I quite like him.
All right.
That was why I was so mad to not get him for Cleveland. Hurt my feelings. Sorry. There's a Dylan song that's got Cleveland mentioned in it, too.
Oh, which one?
I don't know. Something from the 60s. But there's definitely one that's got Cleveland in it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right, I will check that out. All right. Did you know, outside of Cleveland in Akron, that Steph Curry and LeBron James were born in the same hospital? And so I ask you this. At the start of their career, you're the owner of a franchise. Who do you want on your team, LeBron James or Steph Curry? Ben, you go first.
That's a super easy one, LeBron James.
Yes, no question. I am Stephen Curry's biggest fan, potentially. And you, I mean, coming out of college, are you crazy?
Okay. Well, I thought you would go with Steph Curry.
The whole point of Steph Curry is that he becomes something bigger than he was predicted to be. LeBron James is LeBron James, remarkably, spectacularly, is exactly who everyone thought he might be, which is the greatest player ever. It's amazing that at 19, he was like, actually, you guys are right. I'm going to be the greatest player ever. But Steph Curry.
I think you mean second greatest.
Whatever. I mean, he's amazing, right? Like, everybody saw LeBron James in high school. Is like, he might play at the very top of basketball for 20 years. And he has done exactly that without any major missteps or miscalculations. But Curry's story is the story of doing absolutely everything you can do with what you were given, and you weren't given all that much. Like, that's what's so great about him.
Yeah, he came out of high school and colleges were like, no, you cannot play point guard for us.
You cannot play for us.
Yeah, right.
Like North Carolina State, they all passed. They were like, dude, hard pass on carrying the water bucket. Like, forget playing point guard. That's what's so great about him. But yes, you pick LeBron James.
All right.
I'd still pick LeBron James. I mean, he's pretty good, that guy.
Pretty good. I remember that block he has against Iguodala. And I was just like,
an asshole.
That might be the greatest basketball. It's like Jeter's play where he like flips the ball to home plate. Like that's a play that.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Only like.
I watch it every couple of months because. One or two.
All right. Bill Watterson is also from the Cleveland suburbs, and he wrote a comic strip from 85 to 95, I believe, Calvin and Hobbes. Greatest comic strip, better than Dewsbury?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, greatest comic strip ever.
Okay.
I think.
Awesome. And I was trying to think of, like, how do I explain to my kids the idea of, like, waiting for the newspaper every day? Read a comic strip that's, you know, three panels long, like that. What is their equivalent in this day and age? Wordle? Like, TikTok. Oh, get the Wordle?
Probably TikTok.
But Timmy, were you a collection guy? I know Jeff and I were both had the book, the collected books, and I had them next to the toilet and just read and read and read and read and read. Yep.
Bought Will the complete Calvin and Hobbes collection.
Same for my daughters, for sure.
And
in Georgia,
he devoured it, and now B is devouring it. Yep. It's the greatest. And I can hear her giggling. My happiest thing is to hear her falling asleep reading Calvin and Hobbes. I'm like, okay, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. We went through the compilation here and it was so well read that it just got destroyed. So we were up in Boston this weekend, and Henry's future cousin-in-law had a copy, and he just the whole weekend just read through it.
How was the wedding? Your niece got married.
Great wedding. Guess what? Love is a wonderful thing. Two 24-year-olds who are like just so over the moon for each other and like get the gravity of the moment and the wonder of the moment. It was a lovely wedding. Lovely wedding.
That is so nice.
So fun. All right. Favorite Calvin and Hobbes comic strip, the one that sticks in your mind. What do you got?
I've got one that I actually use all the time. I mentioned it with like alarming regularity.
Okay.
So it's a Susie one.
Yeah. This is my favorite too. Ben speaks for me.
So it follows after Calvin and Hobbes have been really mean to Susie. And it's just her just by herself addressing the camera talking to you. And she's like, that Calvin's so mean to me. I don't know why he's so mean to me. She's like, I'm going to have a party. I wish I could have a party and I'll invite all my friends and I won't invite him and he'll be really sad. And then there's like a little blank panel where she's looking at herself. And then she says, as long as I'm wishing, I wish I had a pony. And I just say that to myself all the time. I'm like, as long as I'm wishing, I wish I had a pony.
Yep. Yep. You long ago convinced me that's the best one. And you are 100% correct.
One.
What about you, Tim?
Susie Durkins is awesome. Anytime like the babysitter showed up, I was just
fantastic. Those series are great.
Here go your notes. Flush. I love that series.
You're shaking the door. And then it's like, you know that you've got it for like 6 or 7 days. Like, you know, you get the newspaper the next day. And you're like, good stuff. All right. Well, this section of the podcast is brought to you by TripAdvisor.com. It's actually not, but like maybe if we keep saying that.
It sounded pretty good. Yeah.
Top five things to do in Cleveland. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, number one. We're definitely going there. Good. Number two, Cleveland Museum of Art.
Been there.
Yep.
Good? Is it good? Quality?
Sure. Yeah, no, man. My brother did there's like an actual like iPad thing and a computer thing where you can like scan your face and then they'll find art that looks like you or make a hand motion and they'll find art that looks like you. It's pretty cool.
That's really neat. And your brother had a hand in that?
Yeah, he designed it.
It's a hand in that. Yeah, that's like good. That.
West Side Market is the number three place to visit. Did either of you go there?
Yep.
Solid market. Number four, you lose me here. The Christmas Story House.
Nope. But I like that. That's fun. They got the like leg and the light in the window and everything. Like, they keep it looking like the movie. That's pretty cute.
So no one lives there? Is it like a little museum or people live there? You don't know.
I have no idea.
And then finally, the Metro Parks Zoo, I hear, is pretty good.
I've not been to the Metro Parks.
I'm not a huge zoo guy, but I'm sure it's great. All right.
But a bump. There we go.
Hey.
Our three songs or events or people or venues. Let's go. Who goes first?
I'll go first. We haven't talked about Cleveland rock and roll stuff yet. So we got to shout out WMMS 100.7, The Buzzard, which you could make the argument that along with what is the most important radio station in New York City for rock and roll, Ben, in its history?
It's actually really kind of hard to say. There's WPLJ, and then there, but I mean, back in the AM days, it was like WINS, WABC. Right. I mean, it's passed through a lot of different hands.
Right.
And they like go rock station and then they turn to a top 40 station and go back and forth. So it's actually harder to choose. WNEW and WPLJ were the
I was going to say WNEW is the one I would have nominated. You take that station and you take KSAN in San Francisco and WMMS in Cleveland and they invent album-oriented rock format radio in the late 60s, early 70s, where DJs got to program whatever the hell they wanted. They picked incredible music fans with great ears and let them just play whatever they wanted to play. WMMS broke Rush in the United States, playing Working Man when it was a Canadian import. They broke Bowie in America, playing Ziggy Stardust when no one else was playing it. They hosted some of the most famous live recordings of all time. Springsteen live at the Agora, Boston live at the Agora, The Cars, Nick Lowe. These are live recordings that people traded on tapes for generations and have now all officially come out. Cleveland was a place as a young kid that I just assumed you could go to and there'd be a great band playing somewhere and you could go and be in a sweaty crowd. It just seemed like it was one of the most enthusiastic, big-eared cities. And I think it's really interesting that this kind of slowly decaying city in the Midwest was also kind of interestingly open-minded about its rock music taste. So I was going to go with Pear Ubu.
Oh, wait, hold on. You're not going to do Alan Freed? You got to do Alan Freed as long as
Yeah, I was going to. You take Alan Freed because, yeah, the Payola scandal starts in Cleveland, too. But, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so the reason why this Cleveland, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland is not because of Pear Ubu. It's because they claim to be the birthplace of rock and roll, which is, of course, a silly thing to claim. but they do have a claim to having the first white guy who played African-American music and called it rock and roll, and that's Alan Freed. And so he's on AM radio in Akron, and then he's on AM radio in Cleveland. And if you wanted to do the glass half full version of his story, you want to put a good face on it. You would be like, he was the first guy to do that. And he was the first guy to name it rock and roll. And in fact, for these African-American artists, it was a huge boon to them. And he made a bunch of money from doing that. And then eventually was in a rock station. He was on WINS in New York. And then he was at a rock station in LA and then a rock station in Miami. If you wanted to put the glass half empty on this, first of all, he got paid to play the records and there was a payola scandal. And then they eventually had to like pass a law and then fine him. And he kept getting fired from different places. That's number one. Number two, it wasn't enough for him to get paid by the stupid labels. He stole from the artists.
Yeah.
Maybelline by Chuck Berry is apparently co-written by Alan Freed. And by co-written, we mean, he said, if you want me to play your record on the radio, I'm a writer on this song. And Chuck Berry acquiesced. Totally. And then, at the end, it was super ugly. He was only in Cleveland from like 1950 to 1956 too. It's like they make it sound like he was like this Cleveland legend, but he actually moved around a bunch. And then he was a drunk and died of cirrhosis.
Oh,
like it's a really sad story. By the end, he's like he's like owes $300,000 to the IRS and is living in a motel and dies of cirrhosis.
So and he's our next story. Guest on
for sure. But anyhow, so that's the claim. That's the claim is that he was the first guy, and then he organized some tours. He put out five different rock and roll movies, which are freaking hilarious. If you go to YouTube, you can see the trailers for them, and it's just gold.
I remember a movie called American Hot Wax in the 70s. It was all about the early days of rock and roll that had Alan Freed in it. And
but this is like 58, and it was like Go Johnny Go is the name of it, and it's after the Chuck Berry song, and he and Chuck Berry are like buddies. It's like a buddy comedy with Alan Freed and Chuck Berry as friends.
Oh my god. That's like when LeBron James and Jimmy Iovine were hanging out together at Fenway Park and they were trying to sell that friendship. I'm just here with my good friend Jimmy Iovine. That's one of my favorite sports interviews of all time. So I was going to choose Pere Ubu, which was a great post-punk Cleveland band from 1977, but I knew that would make both of you mad. One of us, I hope, is choosing Joe Walsh or the James Gang, which is the first great Cleveland rock band export. In fact, that Pete Townsend song you sang, he wrote in the Cleveland Sheraton after going to a barbecue at Joe Walsh's house, making them kind of friends for life. But I'm going to choose the obscure Cleveland band that I secretly love called the Raspberries. The Raspberries were a kind of a power pop band from the early 70s. They had a bunch of great singles. There's never really no one great Raspberries record, but Raspberries' greatest hits is like All Killer, No Filler. I'll play their most famous and probably my favorite song by them. Does anybody know who the lead singer of the Raspberries was by any chance? His name was Eric Carmen.
No. And
his big solo hit. He's the guy who sings.
Yes. All yes. My wait. Yeah. Wait. What were we going to say? I was going to say Hungry Eyes.
Yeah, no, but before Hungry Eyes, he sings All By Myself. He's All By Myself.
Oh, off to a good start, Jeff.
Oh, these are awful songs. But when he was a kid, he had great taste. He was coming out of a hard Scrabble rock and roll town, and he recorded this killer 2.5-minute song called Go All the Way.
How old is he when he's singing that?
Like 20.
That's insane. Yeah, because he kind of like calls to mind like an old.
He becomes less power and more pop as he gets older, and it's downhill from there, no doubt about it. I almost chose Funk 49 by the James Gang, but I thought that might be somebody else's choice. But that would be my silver close 1A flip side gold medal Cleveland single.
What, Ben, are you choosing either Pierre? Pierre Ubu?
He's not choosing Pierre Ubu for sure.
Pierre Ubu? Are you choosing the James Gang?
I actually like that song. I like Walk Away better. That's my favorite James Gang song. But no, I'm not choosing either of those.
Okay.
I'm choosing. Oh, do you want to say more, Jeff, about yours?
No, I'm done.
I'm choosing the Cloud Nothings.
Ooh, nice choice.
Yes. So Nothings are a post-punk band from Cleveland,
yes,
formed in 2009. sad white kid from Case Western, who's from Cleveland, who basically they put out a couple of like small self-released records, 2009, 2010, 2011, and then Attack on Memory in 2012 comes out. And I just consider that to be that I really, really, really like that record. And Jeff will completely recognize this emotion where you find a record you really love from a new band, and I just like attach myself to it. And I was like, oh, the Cloud Nothings, these are my guys. Like, yep. Surely every record to come will be at least as good as this one. Next record is Okay. Next record, Here and Nowhere Else, comes out in 2014. I actually saw him in Bonnaroo in 2014. And this is a little bit of the breakup story. Next record, Here and so Attack on Memory is great. And I actually went back and I had to go back out of Spotify into my old iTunes library. And basically every song on that record I've listened to more than 20 times, which means I just listened to that record on loop, just those songs over and over again. Loved it. Here and Nowhere Else, less excited about it. Saw them at Bonnaroo. You'll hear in a second. For the kind of music that they are, they were fine, but not amazing. Like this sort of okay. band should just absolutely shred live, giving their catalog. And I was like, oh, they were pretty good. I mean, some of it's hard to measure because it's like a 2 p.m. show in a tent at Bonnaroo. That being said, Jeff will know, I've seen 15 unbelievably awesome 2 p.m. shows at Bonnaroo. So if you're not unbelievably awesome, I'm kind of meh. All of that being said, I like this band. Sad White Kids from Cleveland. That's my jam. Like, what could go wrong with that? Jeff, I'm going to ask you to do Wasted Days.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And start at 30 seconds, and we'll go from 30 seconds to get the verse, the beginning of the chorus, and then we're going to kick again to 7 minutes so you can hear the crazy jam that comes at the end of the song.
Sure. Okay, so I'm sorry, 30 seconds until when?
If you start at 30 seconds, we'll come in the middle of the first verse, and then 30 seconds to a minute, you'll get the chorus, and then we'll skip ahead to 7 minutes so you can hear what the outro sounds like.
Okay, this is my life, everybody. Here we go. I skipped more of that than I intended to, but it's great.
No, you're right. So it's 8:54, and you know my feelings about 9-minute songs. Like, I'm anti 9-minute songs. This one is totally worth listening to. There's a 3.5-minute punk song at the beginning. Then there's a 3-minute just like filthy jam where they're just like just going completely nuts. And then it cuts out to just the boom, 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 boom on the bass line. Then they come all the way back into the screaming. I thought it would be more than this. Fantastic. I love this one. There was a stretch where this was like one of my favorite bands. You know, that year I was just super into this band.
Yep.
Love it. And I think they're great for Cleveland. You know what I mean? What could be better than a sad kid from Cleveland being like, I thought I'd be more than this and screaming about it.
And the next song on the record is a great punk pop song called Fall In. I love this record. I like you. Like, every time the Cloud Nothings put something out, I'm like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. And it's not quite the same impact, but this record's great. I highly recommend
The Cloud Nothings. And what's the name of this particular album?
Attack on Memory.
Yep.
Attack on Memory. Also great title.
Totally.
Love it. You don't like 9-minute long songs, but that reminds me. Jeff Simons, did you see Dawes?
No, they're not till April 2023. But oh. I bought my tickets. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. You texted us about buying the tickets. I thought it was coming up.
I just thought it was so funny. They made me buy tickets 8 months in advance for a show in front of 800 people. I was like, man, you guys really want to get your itinerary set up.
Yeah. Like, you know. Well, maybe they're expecting a big, big break. People who are
I can't wait. I can't wait. I got the date circled on the calendar. It's going to be great.
So speaking of other 9 minute long songs, there was also something for the compilation. Yeah, I sit there and look for lyrics that mention Cleveland, and there's a Frank Zappa song called
Let's Move to Cleveland. Yeah.
That has no lyrics.
No lyrics. 14 minute jazz fusion song. It might actually break Ben's cranium to be forced.
Guess who listened to that, waiting for the lyrics to kick in?
That's so 9 minutes you'll never get back.
Oh, it's gone.
That's really rough mid 80s.
I think you should bill the estate of Frank Zappa and see if they will recompense you for your time and suffering.
I really will.
That was when Zappa had a keyboard player who was just a sound effects guy. So it's like. There's like weird noises happening through the whole song. It's pretty bad.
A struggle, I got to tell you. And I actually, you know, you guys were dunking on Cleveland earlier. I appreciate Cleveland. I don't know much about it. I don't like a lot of the music that has come from here. I can't choose Chrissy Hynde because she left and she's more kind of England. I can't.
Is she from Cleveland?
Yeah,
she is. She's from Akron.
I can't choose.
Akron's different. That's not the same.
No, but she lived in Cleveland for 4 or 5 years. That's where she had her first band. Like, she's definitely counts.
I can't choose Tracy Chapman because she, you know, eventually does a PG year in Connecticut and then goes to Tufts. And then she's discovered in Boston. So it's like Cleveland, I'm not going to pick an artist. Instead, I'm going to pick a moment because this is a moment that basically melted my face. This was the George Harrison tribute at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, I love you guys, but it was Prince's guitar solo in While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
While my guitar gently weeps.
Goes on for another 2 minutes.
Oh yeah,
so great.
It goes on and on. You know, that was always one of my least favorite Beatles songs, and then I love it. Uh-oh, did I mess up?
Yes, I just like. Yeah, I love you, Tim. I'm like, I never understood that. Why would a heart weep? Like, everything's pretty much okay, isn't it? There's pizza and the Celtics.
Yeah, right.
You're like, when will this end so I can get to Octopus's Garden?
Exactly. You know, that Yellow Submarine is memorable.
That is fun. Can't we have bouncy songs?
Oh, my God. That solo. My favorite part of the video of that is when they think the song's going to end and Prince makes no eye contact with anybody and just goes into another 32 bars. And they're all kind of trying to peek around the fretboard to see how he's doing it. That is such a great moment.
Oh,
it was really fun. I've only watched it on video, so it was fun to hear it without the video.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of is we Ben and I saw Buddy Guy at Haverford, and in the middle of the show, he's already like cooked for like an hour, and he's like, wham, how many of you are big fans of Eric Clapton? And like, you know, a bunch of white people like, yeah, it's like, yeah, right. Eric Clapton ain't shit. And he starts playing Sunshine of Your Love, like behind his back and with his teeth and like and borrowing, like re-stealing all the riffs back. It made me laugh so
hard. And Hendrix, he called out like four different acts.
Yeah, it was great.
Two minute versions of their songs. It was great.
But what's great about that Prince solo is he plays like Clapton. Like he's doing all those soaring notes and bends. And then he's like, okay, so I've showed you I can do that. Now I'm going to do some of my own thing. And then he plays all this shit that Clapton couldn't play to save his own life. It's just such an incredible performance.
Now, do you think the band was excited for this? You do. Thought they were fans. Okay.
Yes.
I think they were just like, I think they were just shaking their heads in disbelief at how good.
That's what I thought too from watching the video. And then I saw an article today where the person's like, and Petty wasn't sure about this, and you know, the George Harrison's widow didn't want Prince to be a part of it, and Tom Petty had a stern look. I'm like, did he? I thought he had a look of like, holy crap, Prince is going crazy right now.
Petty had a look of like, oops, I should not try to share a stage with this lunatic genius. Get me out of here. Before he starts playing my own songs and burying me. Hey guys, let's do American Girl.
Ixnay. good stuff. So kind of cheating, picking a Minnesota guy for my Cleveland podcast.
I like it, but in Cleveland itself. I like it. You did the, you know, I could have picked the Springsteen from the Agora show too, but I didn't.
Right. Which is
the second podcast in a row you've kind of fudged it though, Timmy. Next podcast, you have to actually choose an act from the town.
And where are we going next time, Timmy? What a perfect segue to the revelation.
Glad you asked, Jeff Simons. We don't know. Like we've thrown the rules out. Like we put it up to fate, and then we decided last week that we didn't like fate. So now we're gonna see where the universe takes us.
I don't know.
Oh, Captain, my captain, I will be happy to follow you where you lead us to.
You're gonna give us 1 second of preparation time.
That's right. That's right. It's Topeka. Come on.
All right.
Give me something. All right, gentlemen. Lovely night. Lovely seeing you guys. Everyone healthy?
Yep.
We are not going to add the everyone healthy section of this podcast.
I got to pee.
Strongly object to that.
You know, I'm managing it.
we're only a few years away, Ben. Yeah.
I hear good things about Metamucil. I'll just leave it at that.
Exactly. Turns out it was negative. I'm all good. All right, gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Maybe it's London. Maybe it's Rhode Island. All right.
Tomato, tomato. All right. Bye, friends.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric Acid. Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Baklaan.
And I'm Aiden Alpert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electric Cast production.
See you there. Electric Cast.